Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
You guys grateful today? Yeah? All right. Well, for those of you who might be watching online and everybody here, my name's Justin. I'm part of the pastoral team here, and I count it a privilege. Anybody that knows me knows that I have a deep regard for the Word of God, and man, I'm always humbled whenever I have an opportunity to share. So I hope that you are ready to take a look into the Word and see what God says to us. Obviously, we've been in a series titled "Fear Not," and you know what? I don't know what this is going to be titled beyond "Fear Not." Stay tuned. This is because we had some notes that we were kind of sharing and thinking through, but I really felt like as I just kind of prayed through it and looked at the Bible, I just felt like I was supposed to take a different direction. So we're going to talk about this, still stick on the theme of fear not. And the thing I want to acknowledge right away is that we're all in this time of year where we try to be like really spiritual and focus on Jesus and, you know, kind of get really deep, and there's the marching through the Advent and all these things. But how many know it's really tough to keep your mind clear of those clearance sales? Okay, I know while we're trying to be deep and real spiritual, ladies, you are thinking about those boots. You know, you see somebody said, ah, ha, ha, those boots that you've been waiting all year to go on sale. And finally, in Jesus' name, they're going to be on sale. And all the gentlemen are getting that big TV screen itch because they walk through Best Buy and try to stay focused and getting the batteries. But man, the sale is coming. I got to get that TV. Well, I'm there with you, but I want to draw your attention away from that for a minute to really focus on something that I feel will be deeply impactful and help us to really focus in on where we are in this season of time. If you have a Bible, or maybe you can look on with us, I'm going to be reading from Luke, the second chapter, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 11, and then I'll just share some thoughts, and then we'll pray and wrap up. So Luke chapter 2, do we have that? Luke chapter 2, yeah. So we'll start at verse 8. So in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." So I want to draw your attention really quickly to the shepherds. And when we look at the characters in this particular passage of Scripture, we see them highlighted right away. And, you know, one of the things that's a challenge when you read the Bible is that there's so many things that are discussed and so many social elements of the Bible that really don't impact us today. We don't have that overlap, that same understanding or reference point for a lot of the things that we see in Scripture. I'm not sure if you've gone out of, you know, church on Sunday morning and seen some kind of sprawling field with a guy with a staff walking around with the long robe and kind of prodding sheep along. Anybody seen any folks like that outside? No, probably. Okay, I figured not. So when you read stuff like that, sometimes it's kind of hard to understand who those people would have been and the significance of them in that day. So let's take a look at the shepherds, idea of shepherds. So these would have been people who would have been completely outcast in Israel. And here's why. They weren't able to keep the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was known as a holy day. And the reason why they couldn't keep the Sabbath is because they were out poking the sheep and trying to keep the wolves away. One of the other things about being a shepherd was that it was probably one of the lowest occupations that you could possibly have in the ancient world. So in some ways, as many would probably look upon someone who mops floors or is a janitor or is, you know, a person who you know, cleans the rest stop along the side of the road. I mean, you know, as much as our culture would probably look down upon those people and say, man, that's a nasty job. I would never want to do that. That's how the ancient world looked upon shepherds. It was not a coveted position or job or way of life. And I find it interesting that God chooses to speak to these people. And I think in that we can see that God has a habit of speaking to people who seemingly are far off and insignificant. Now, I don't know if there's anybody who's been in here that's felt far off or insignificant, but I know I have. I know that there's been moments in my life where I felt utterly outcast and completely deficient in so many areas, and I am the prime candidate to hear from God. You are the prime candidate to hear from God. Maybe you're sitting in your seat and you're thinking to yourself, man, gosh, when I think about my week, and you know, maybe you were driving in on the way here, somebody cut you off, and you said something that, man, you wouldn't say if you were in a church service. It wasn't too holy. And you kicking yourself for not being so holy on your way to church. But God wants to speak to you. And he shows up to these shepherds. And it's this awe-inspiring, incredible experience. And I know sometimes we read over these passages and it's kind of like, yeah, and then he, you know, the angel appeared and this happened and that happened. And we kind of rush past details. But let me slow you down for a minute. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. Let me help you understand what angels are not. They are not cute, fat babies with curly hair and heart-tipped arrows. They're not that. They're probably big and scary, and you don't want one to show up and start talking to you about anything because you'll be completely freaked out. Completely. As these guys were. So back to the scripture. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord. Let me help you understand something also about glory. This is no simple word. One commentator and theologian put it this way. It is the public display, or God's holiness going public. It is the glory. It is the majesty and the power of God breaking into our reality. The best analogy I can give you is I got four kids. My oldest is five now. And when he was really small, we would constantly sit and we would play with these. We play with these little toys. You know, you have like toy trains and stuff like that. And so, you know, we get these trains, and I'm down on my knees with him, and we're kind of going in a circle and crashing it into stuff, and we're having a great time. And he loves this train. Sometimes he pick up the train and take it with him, and man, he just loved this thing. Now, we got to the point where we went to a road trip. And I remember we stopped at a gas station that was very, very close to a train track. And I remember when we got out of the car, a train came down the track. And Justin freaks out. That's my oldest name. He freaks out because he has no clue what he's just seen. And what he just saw was a train. But in his mind, he's still thinking about the little thing that he can crash into his Spider-Man toys. And in many ways, when we approach the Bible, we see and hear things that don't actually give us the full understanding of what it would be if we were in that presence of that thing. And what we're seeing here is that the glory of God, the display of his power and majesty, it says, shone round about them. Can you imagine angels showing up that is not a fat baby with curly hair, and the glory of God breaking into your reality? How staggering that would be. How awesome it would be to see that. And it says that they were filled with fear. Now, here's where we're going to get to our main point. We're going to look at a couple other things as we approach this topic of fear not. So it says that they were very afraid, actually filled with great fear, it says. Now, isn't it interesting that at the most fearful point in the lives of these shepherds, the messenger of God starts the next sentence with, fear not. What can we learn about that? When you are in the grips of anxiety and fear and stress to the point where you are completely pressed beyond what you are capable, the word of God to you is, fear not. Even when you are completely broken, when you are completely outside of yourself because a situation that you find yourself in is so great and so traumatic and there's no way around it, God still speaks to you and says, fear not. And the key point that I'm going to highlight here after he says, fear not, is the good news of what he shares next. And here's what he says. We're going to go down to verse 10 and look at verse 11 as well. And it says, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Now, I have to imagine that the lowly, forgotten about, insignificant shepherds have to be thinking, who, me? Think about this. Just to give you some perspective on what I'm trying to explain to you on shepherds, let's hit the rewind and go back to the moment when Samuel is coming to anoint the next king. He asked Jesse, bring me all of your sons. The sons come out. Who was not in attendance? David, because he was the insignificant, obscure shepherd boy that what didn't even seem good enough, or even when he didn't even pop up on the father's radar when they said, bring the sons out. Here are my sons right here. Don't worry about that boy. He's out there just taking care of those sheep. These are my sons. So the shepherds had to be thinking, as they're receiving this good news and this announcement, that it's for all people. You mean me? Me too? I'm included in that number? I remember, and this brings a story to mind of my own life. The reason why whenever I get up to speak, I always say I hold this moment in high regard and high esteem, and I count it a privilege, is because y'all, there was a point in my life where I was jacked. Okay? I know some of you all know what jacked, everybody here understand jacked. Okay? That's kind of an antiquated word. There's newer words for that, but I just thought I'd use jacked. I was jacked. Okay? And I remember I went to church with a friend of mine. And there was this guy that was sitting up on the podium. And I see him motioning to me. Come here. walk up, and first of all, it's a trek. I mean, it's like I gotta get out of my seat, I gotta walk up on stage. It's important people up there. I don't know what's gonna happen. Are they about to make a mockery of me? I have no clue. I don't even belong. I'm thinking to myself, I don't even belong here in the church, and you call me up on stage. But okay, we're gonna see how this goes. So I walk up there, and he pulls me, Simon, God's got a word for you. Okay. Yeah, you're gonna be a preacher and a teacher of the word of God. Probably not. That was my, you mean me, moment? Because if you knew what I was doing last night, you wouldn't say any of what you were just telling me. I ain't nobody's preacher, teacher of nothing. I can teach you where the spots are if you want to go have some fun. I know where that is, but the Bible, what? Yeah, you're going to teach, you're going to preach the word of God. Good news, hope, joy for all people. You mean me? And maybe you're circling yourself right now. Maybe you're thinking about your own particular unique situation. Maybe your family background. Maybe the job that you have. Maybe your station in life. You're thinking about that right now. And you're saying, Justin, come on. Me? Yes. Good news for all people. For all people. So let's keep going. So the next thing that happens is he says this. He says, for unto you is born this day. This is the good news, and this is the part I'm going to spend the last maybe 15 minutes or so on. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, in the ancient context, and especially for people that probably would have been of some Jewish descent, when you say words like Savior and Christ and Lord, those are words that they're probably going to recognize at some level. For us, not so much. So we have to dig a little deeper, and I want to take the next few minutes and really try to unpack these three words so we can understand just how important this good news really is. Okay? Everybody still awake? Okay, this is a long day. I've been working. Let's tune in. Savior. So he says a Savior. So typically when we think of being saved, we think of ourselves. We think of us being saved from someone else or from something. But I would argue that if we're really honest and spent some deep time of introspection, that we would realize that the greatest saving that we need is actually from ourselves. That typically, as much as we would like to externalize and villainize everybody out there, you know, because it was how I went off on her because she pushed my button. Yeah, I gave her a piece of my mind. And you know what? I wasn't going to let him talk to me crazy. I slapped him in his mouth. I'm a grown man. Don't talk to me like that. But what was in you that said when she pushed your button or when he didn't talk to you like a grown man, that would give you license to go off on her and give you license to slap him in his mouth? What is that in us? What is it that thing that's in every person that causes us to be selfish and greedy and violent and offensive? What is it in us that's broken? And when we explore this word Savior, What we're discovering is that the greatest power toward us through the gospel is God reaching down through his son to save us from ourselves. Because we find in ourselves this ticking time bomb of self-destruction. That at any moment, we're so volatile that we could snap and we could ruin the lives of those around us and even bring hurt and harm and detriment to ourselves. We need a savior. We need desperately to be saved. Somebody needs to come and save these jacked up people like me. I love this old story about this old preacher. So he gets up and he delivers his sermon, and it's powerful and eloquent and all these things. And he comes down and people are coming up and shaking his hand and, hey, good message. And one guy walks up and he says, hey, I don't like how you were talking about the cross. I don't like that. I don't like how you focus so much on Jesus' death. That's just ugly. You don't want to talk about that. Why'd you focus so much attention on that? You know what? I would much rather have you extolled and highlighted who Jesus was as a teacher and as an example. And the preacher stands back and he says, okay, teacher and example. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you follow Jesus if he were, if he was just your teacher and your example? Do you think that you could follow him? He says, yeah, follow him. I said, okay, well. He said, well, as your teacher and as your example, you will be required to live a completely sinless life from here on out. Do you think you can stick with that? And the guy got angry. What do you mean, sinless? I can't live without sin. That's impossible. I can't do that. And the old preacher said, so you don't need an example. You need a savior. You don't need an example. You think you need an example because you think that you're good enough to keep all the rules, and you're not. You need somebody to deliver you from your rule-breaking self. I need somebody to save me from my rule-breaking self. It's in every one of us. It is implicit in the human condition. We are rule-breakers, and we need to be saved. And that's part of the good news. That is the hope and joy for all people. And then he uses this other word, Christ. So in the ancient understanding of that word, in the original language, it would mean the anointed one. The anointed one. Okay, now, you come to church and you hear words thrown around, and oh, he's anointed, and oh, the anointing was here, and my God, the anointing came down, and the anointing was in the room, and the cloud of the anointing was flowing back. Now, listen, sometimes you got to slow down and understand what these words mean, okay? I'm a guilty party. I've done it myself. I was anointed. The pastor preached. It was anointed. It was anointed of God. So let's slow down. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's look at this word, Christ, the anointed one. Okay, so if Jesus was to describe what the anointing looked like, what was that? So we can have an accurate description, so we can have a frame of reference for the anointing. So we get that from Luke 4, 18 and 19, and they don't have it there, but I'll just read it to you. And Jesus stands up, he's in the synagogue, and his ministry is taking off. And he's causing a stir in the ancient world, and he's and he gets up, he opens a scroll, and it's from the prophet Isaiah. And this is how Jesus, in his own words, as he reads this ancient text, describes the anointing at work in his life. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is the anointing that Jesus represents. And by the Spirit of God, when we put our faith in Jesus, that same anointing is upon us. That may come as a shock and a surprise to you. Maybe you've just come to faith and your story still feels a bit boring. You know, there's still quite a bit of ho-hum in your week. And maybe you're feeling like one of those shepherds who are just kind of out, you know, prodding sheep along and, you know, beating the culprits back and, you know, just kind of business as usual. But God wants to anoint you for purpose and for the ministry of reconciliation to the world around you. He wants to invade your story in such a way that not only is it divinely interrupted, but that the whole world takes notice of what he's rewriting on the pages of your life. He wants to come and to anoint you. And this was part of that good news for all people, that he is the anointed one and he comes to not just free his people and save them, but he comes to proclaim good news that you're now free and by his Spirit that you can be anointed for the expansion and the work of his kingdom. And lastly, word Lord. This is the dirty word of Christianity. Here's what I mean by that. I'm okay with you saving me from hell. Who wants to go to hell? Where they do that at? People just go to hell. They just want to. Nobody wants to do that. Yes, save me. Deliver me. I want to be free. I want your pardon. I want your please. Give me all of that. Lord, bless me. Give it to me. And yes, I want to be anointed. Let the anointing flow down from the top of my head to the soles of my feet to the carpet. Let it run down into the streets, Lord. You're pacing in your house and you're praying for the anointing, and the anointing come in and the anointing go out, and the anointing on my job and the anointing on my bed. We want all of that. But when you got a new boss, that's going to tell you what to do with your saved, anointed self, that's a bit of a problem. Because I'm a grown man. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. You mean I gotta read the Bible and pray and have God tell me how I'm supposed to live my life? Yes. You mean to tell me that I gotta work on my anger and I gotta work on my fear and I gotta surrender all these things? Yes. I gotta give up my lust and my habits and all my gotta? Yes. Because he's Lord. He's Lord. And as much as his grace towards you is for you to be saved, and as much as his grace towards you is so that you can be anointed, his grace towards you is so that you can be under his rule in a new kingdom. You can stay in the kingdom of darkness, but that's going to be a problem eventually. But when you come to the kingdom of light, you are under a new jurisdiction. And he is Lord of that territory, along with everything else that's subject to him. So there's good news, and there's hope and joy for all people. So remember when I told you in the beginning, you know, there's all the sales and stuff happening. Gosh, you know, let's just kind of put that away for a minute and let's look at the Bible. Okay, so I want to read one of the greatest philosophers. Uh-oh, my ring fell off. One of the greatest philosophers of our time. Let me read this to you. This is deep. I want you to put on your seatbelts. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet, ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means a little bit more? And what if God in this season of time wants to invade your life to help you understand what the good news is? What if in the midst of all of your shopping and the ribbons and the packaging and the friends and the family and the Christmas pudding and the cake and the pies and the coconut donuts that you just got delivered from in Jesus' name and all of that stuff, what if in the midst of all of that, he wanted to reveal his glory to you? And each one of us are shepherds in our own respective fields. We all are. We got work, we're busy, we're doing stuff. And then God comes in like, whoosh. But the question always ends up in how do we respond? And as you see from, as you read later on, you know, the shepherds, they were obedient. They ran and they said, man, we wanna find this king. We want to see the evidence of this good news. And they had hearts that not just heard good news, but responded, became obedient to that news. So as we wrap up, and I don't know if there's a musician or somebody to help me shut this down, but as we conclude, and, you know, we're talking about fear not. I don't know where fears you face. I don't know, I don't know how you came in here. But I just pray that as we looked in the scripture today, you wouldn't be afraid. And mostly you wouldn't be afraid to respond to the good news of what Jesus has done. That you wouldn't be afraid to block out all of the noise. The stuff that vies for your attention. That even going back to something Pastor Mike said earlier, the things that try to exalt itself against the glory, over and against the glory of God. And wherever you find yourself, I just want this to be a moment of honesty. This is just between you and God. some of you may be bold enough to raise your hand. If you're not bold enough, it doesn't matter because God's watching, and that's what matters. But if you're here today and you're saying, man, you know what, I haven't been living like that. I haven't been living in response to the goodness and the power and the majesty and the glory of God. I haven't, you know, I've been preoccupied. I've been stressed. I've allowed fear to creep in such a way where I've been completely taken out of the game. I don't know. I feel lost. I feel like I need a Savior. I feel like I need the Christ. I feel like I need a Lord. I need somebody to help govern me. If that's you today, I just want to pray a simple prayer. and ask that God would do something fresh in your heart. And then on the other side of things, if you're here today and maybe you've already confessed Jesus as Lord and you're like, man, I'm on the other side of faith in that regard, but maybe there's something that has prodded you or poked you in deep in your soul to maybe draw closer attention to what God is doing and to remove some of that fear so your story can become more vibrant, that you can renew your passion for the story of God at work in your life so that you can begin to tell others about what Jesus has done and how he's saved you and how he has graced you and empowered you by his Spirit and how ultimately he's Lord of your life. So there's two folks I want to pray for, those who are saying, hey, I want to walk with Jesus. And the rest of us who are just trying to grow in this walk, I just want to pray for us as well. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for, first of all, just your kindness towards us. Wow. It's so great. And what we see in the cross is the manifestation of the glory of God. We see the most glorious event that all of humanity has ever witnessed, that you through your Son were reaching out by grace to draw us in. And it's just that we respond by faith in you, that we just say, you know, I'm putting the full weight of my trust upon who you are and what you say of yourself. That's all it is. And Lord, if there's people here today who are maybe hearing this for the first time, whether here, maybe online, Lord, I pray, God, that you would invade their soul, Lord, and that they would have confidence in what you did on the cross and that their faith would apprehend that promise, that it would reach out and grab it. That's for me. Just as those who were in the field received the message from the angel and maybe they felt like, are you talking to me? Lord, I pray, God, that there wouldn't be that questioning, but no, that is me. I accept that. I receive that for myself. I receive the pardon. I receive the empowerment. I receive the lordship. God, I pray, God, that those people will respond and that response will be complete. That they will walk away from this moment changed and with a new perspective on what it means to walk with God and not to fear. Lord, so I pray for those, and God, I pray for the rest of us. I have my hand held high, Lord. I repent, God, and we all repent, Lord, for any way, God, that we have become distracted, any way that we've turned aside from your glorious purpose at work in our lives to chase other things. Maybe we've been crippled by fear. Maybe we've been drawn away by lust, or maybe there's so many ditches on all sides of the road, but Lord, you're calling us out into a deeper relationship, into greater grace and knowledge and understanding of who you are. And Lord, we're supposed to be the people who reflect your glory. So God, help us. Lord, help me so that we can be those people and that the world can be touched by the power and the majesty and the glory of who you are. Lord, we thank you for this time together, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Well, you're dismissed. It's awesome. If you need prayer for anything, we're here. Justin, tremendous job, friend. Tremendous job. I do need to remind you, because of Christmas Eve service, and there's those flyers if you want to pick some up in the lobby on the way out, but we will not have service next Wednesday, but we will have it, obviously, on two services Christmas Eve, all right? God bless you guys. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, we'd love to pray for you. Have a good night.